Welcome to this edition of Sentinel Watch, a weekly production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm Tony Lobel. Today we're going to look at a subject that needs our heartfelt prayers: overcoming suicidal thinking. Too many people are struggling with suicidal thoughts around the world, and in this program we want to look at why such thinking is never truly our own thinking. I know that when these thoughts come, they don't seem like something you can just shrug off. They seem like they're you. They seem like they are your identity. They seem like you can't separate yourselves from them. But today we have a guest who has been through that and overcome these aggressive suicidal thoughts and found that she could get beyond such thinking. And now we'll welcome Susan Collins, a Christian Science practitioner and teacher from New York City. Thanks for joining us, Susan.
Oh, it's so good to be with you.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the program to talk about this subject. I'd love to invite you to get the ball rolling with a few thoughts.
Well, that's great, Tony. I guess what I would say first off is if you're thinking of suicide, don't do it. Don't commit suicide. There's a better way for sure, and it isn't ODing or jumping off a bridge or whatever. The Bible tells us, "For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye." And that's what we have to do. You know, often when people are suicidal, maybe the jobless, guilt-ridden, greatly disappointed in life, recent job dismissal, whatever, and they have these inclinations or impulsions, or for years have suffered from mental trouble, and they want to jump or cut their wrists, in these hours of crises, of angst and darkness, if they would just wait for a better idea than jumping. You know, often people that have waited and haven't jumped or committed suicide are so glad later on. And the truth really is that this death wish thinking, this suicidal thinking, it isn't a normal state of thought, of mind. And basically, innately, we all do know that we should want to live and celebrate vitality, energy, discovery. But the fact is, this thinking isn't right, and it's not of God. So what I've learned, that if the thinking that comes to me is filled with angst or sorrow or disappointment or worry, then it is not from God, and we don't listen to it. So as we learn that we really are the image of divine mind, the image of intelligence and wisdom, the image of God, as is stated in the book of Genesis in the Bible, 1:27, that God made us in his image, as we align our thought with this mind, with intelligence, with wisdom, and forbid entrance of the thoughts that are so dreary and sad, we can make headway. We can discover, ultimately, God's plan for us, his purpose for us, his reason for us being here. And that's really more or less what happened to me.
Thank you, Susan. That's really helpful. And I know that the fact that you have arrived at those conclusions as a result of your experience of being healed of the desire to take your own life will speak to so many of our listeners. I also know it was quite a journey of discovery for you. So please share your story with us.
For me, before I found Christian Science, I grew up with loads of allergies and asthma and eczema, all kinds of things that were very troubling. Then I got to college, and I became addicted to smoking, and I started with bulimia, and I was in a car accident, and then I got mononucleosis at one point and began uppers and downers, uppers to wake up and downers to go to sleep. So I was kind of gradually introduced to drugs, and I did graduate, and most of my college experience was quite fine, but I really was kind of lost about what life was all about. Well, to make a long story short, I moved to New York and worked, but wasn't finding work that I felt was meaningful to me, and decided the answer would be to get married, which was really not particularly enlightened. But this man had asked me to marry him, and I had turned him down, but I read my horoscope, and it said, "You're going to take a trip." And he was living in a foreign country, and I thought, well, I guess I'm supposed to marry him. So I did, thinking that that would be the answer. And of course, the only answer always really is finding the kingdom within our own selves. We want to get it from another person or from a job or from an exciting experience. But finding the kingdom of heaven, as Jesus talked about, the kingdom is always within our own consciousness.
For a listener, what does it mean, the kingdom of heaven? What is it that you find within?
Well, you know, the Bible says that in him, we live and move and have our being, which spiritually translated means if God is infinite mind, infinite love, then in love, in mind, in good, we live and move and have our being. And if that's the case, the kingdom of heaven is discerning, experiencing the reign of harmony, of good, right within.
That's wonderful. So let's go back to your experience.
Well, you know, I knew the marriage wasn't going well for either of us. I hadn't found the career I wanted. My health wasn't the best, and I thought, I've had it. I really thought that I wanted to end it all. So as I sat there thinking about that possibility, a little inner voice, the innate instinct to love life, to love discovery, adventure, and what God has for us, it did stay with me happily. I didn't commit suicide. The marriage broke up, and I went back to the United States. And one Sunday morning, when I awakened feeling terrible, at this point I was addicted to Valium, actually. I was having a panic attacks and still struggling with bulimia. And I was so seemingly desperate that I thought of a number of ways to end it all.
So what stopped you?
Well, I think what stopped me again was that little innate sense that this wasn't the right thing to do, and that there had to be a power, something that could save me.
And I think it's wonderful to think everyone has that innate sense. And what we're sharing today is how they can find that power.
Yes, Tony, that's exactly right. And I thought, I've just got to get some answers. And I dressed and went to a church that I thought I would like to go to, but I couldn't find it. So I ended up, actually, as I looked around, at a Christian Science church. And when I went into the Christian Science church, the wonderful lesson sermon began, and I listened with all my heart because I wanted answers. And one of the readers read something to the effect that depending on how you are thinking, that determines your experience. And I thought, my gosh, how did they know that? I'd gotten headaches, and I knew it was when I was nervous or scared, so I thought, they're right. Your thought determines your experience. I was so excited at the close of the service. An usher gave me a copy of Science and Health, and it was there in that book I discovered that God was infinite mind, and God was my mind through reflection, so I didn't need an appointment to see somebody. I didn't need a potion or a pill or a drink or anything. I could go right to God myself. That was really one of the turning points for me, was this incredible definition of God in Christian Science. And I realized that if this was the fact, and that divine mind was all present, all powerful, all knowing, all giving, then I was safe. And I began to learn more about God. In my studies, I often read the testimonies in the periodicals, and I studied Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. Yes, I had to learn more about my relationship to my Maker. And as I began to recognize that so much of the struggles I had were, in a sense, self-imposed, I was able to look at life with a sense of adventure. St. Mrs. Eddy says, love's grand adventure. You know, the Bible says, choose ye this day, heaven or hell, joy or sorrow. And I began to look at life more as an adventure than as a hellhole. When's the next shoe going to drop off? And as I practiced this new kind of thinking, I had to give up old thought habits of worry and overreaction, oversensitivity, and put on the new man, so to speak, which we continually do, to put on a sense of trust and hope and purpose. Every day as I began to pray for myself and recognize more and more what it means to be God's image, I was making progress. And the depression, the sadness, the fear, it lifted. So I continued that way, and ultimately I took a class in Christian Science called Primary Class Instruction, and I learned much more about God and how to heal. And after a number of years, I was married and had a son and a lovely home. But unfortunately, that marriage crumbled. It wasn't right for either of us either. And I began again to feel depressed and sorrowful and suicidal. So the first time it was about spiritual sense and physical sense. I had to find spiritual sense as my core being. This time, I recognized more that our life is a subjective experience. I worked with a Christian Science practitioner teacher who was really helpful. And one day he sent me a statement that said, Christian Scientists are alone with their own being and the reality of things, which means that we are in a subjective experience. We, in a sense, determine how we're going to look at life, how we're going to look at our little plot, how we're going to look at what we're going to do with our gifts and talents and abilities. And we want to choose to be intelligent, to be wise, to do what's creative, innovative, helpful to mankind.
And what you're talking about here is God is the only mind, and man's real thoughts are the thoughts that reflect this divine mind. And that's why we have a right to know that we can grow beyond any thinking that really isn't right, because it isn't true. It isn't what we are created to know and think and believe. And that's so empowering, isn't it?
Yes, Tony, that's exactly right. Any thought that's murderous or selfish is not from God, and it isn't our thinking. Our thinking, in fact, is the thinking God, divine mind, is giving us, is expressing through us.
Yeah, and I think the empowerment comes from knowing that, as you said, that we really are those children of God. We really are one with our Father, Mother, God. Because I think the wonderful thing that Christian Science has brought to me, because although I was never suicidal, I went through some pretty dark moments growing up, including wishing I hadn't been born. I never quite got as far as wanting to take my life, but I remember sitting in bed just wondering, why? Why did anyone give me this life? I was dealing with big issues like having been born to Holocaust survivors. I had to think, why would I want to be in a world where that happens, where the Holocaust happens? And what Christian Science brought to me, which was so empowering, was this understanding that the real nature of God is divine life, eternal life, spiritual life, and that our real nature is to reflect that, as you said. We are the reflections of that life. And that kind of lifts you up by the bootstraps. It actually lifts your thoughts, doesn't it? And that's what empowers us.
Yes. Mrs. Eddy tells us to stand porter at the door of thought, admitting only such conclusions as you wish realized in bodily results. You will control yourself harmoniously. So we have to be, you know, world-class porters, watching what we're letting in, what we're entertaining, what we're sending out, right?
Yes, divinely empowered porters, knowing that we can do that. It's not a chore, it's a duty, and it brings such freedom, such liberty. But we're empowered to do that, aren't we, by that wonderful sense of what we really are as God's creation.
Yes, and the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The Christ is God's message of truth, of spiritual reality to human consciousness, and it heals. And Jesus lived it and proved it.
That Christ that you were talking about, which we understand in Christian Science to be the divine message from God to his idea man, speaking to the human consciousness of each of us, which is how Mary Baker Eddy's writings define the Christ. And we're all receptive to that Christ message speaking to us, guiding us in the right direction.
And you're absolutely right, Tony. It's an irresistible attraction to our Maker, to what's right and good and pure, because that's how he made us. So we can't be anything but that.
And that is such a lovely message to that listener who's struggling now. You have just told them this is what they really are, which is so what we want to share, isn't it? This yes. is what you really are. Mm-hmm. You really are that child of God. You really are the beloved of divine love. And that is your real life.
Exactly, Tony. And it's self-perpetuating. Love would have to be, wouldn't it? Self-renewing, mm-hmm. ever-present.
Yeah.
And yes, that's exactly. So the truth is that there's always an answer. There is always an idea of God's right there waiting for us to receive. And God is committed to communicating to us. He's made us able to hear him, understand him, and obey him. And he talks to us with signs and angels, thoughts from God, and intuition. He's communicating all the time. And as we truly get still and listen, we can hear those biddings. And we're always safe, that there's always an answer. And we just keep our hand in our Father's.
And when you describe, you know, this coming into this consciousness of divine mind, this awareness of divine mind, which really sounds like it was the transition that helped you go from that despair to the joy that people can see you're now exuding. Describe a bit more about the divine mind and what our relationship is to the divine mind.
Yes, divine mind is another name for God. Divine mind is substance, and divine mind is eternally imparting, communicating, governing. This mind is our mind as God's reflection and is expressing itself through us in clear, illumined, good thoughts. And it might take great humility to obey. Not what do I want, but Father, what would you say? What would you have me to think and do? How would you have me to go forward? God's plan for us, his purpose, his mission, and he has a niche for each one of us, is what's going to bless us and everyone else the best. So we have to learn, I think I had to learn, not to be willful, you know, to want what you want, when you want it, but to listen. The prayer of listening helped me more than anything, I think, to take the time to get still, to really get still, not think about errands and emails and phone calls, but to get very still and see what God wants to impart to me. And sometimes we hear ideas that I never would have heard had I not taken that time.
Do you have an example of that you can share where you were listening in prayer and something came to you with that clarity that gave you a sense of what to do or where to be or whatever it was?
I guess this eating disorder that seemed to plague me, this bulimia, I just could not seem to be healed of it. So I called a Christian Science practitioner, and I didn't know her well, but I loved her countenance. She was very serene, and you could see a subtle confidence in life, in good. And I went to her, and I said to her, I'm a sinner. I'm wasting all this food, and there are people in the world hungry. And, you know, there was a silence, I believe, and she said, "You are not a sinner." And the way she said it, Tony, I felt it, and I was healed.
That's lovely.
Another healing I had of coffee. I thought I needed coffee to wake up in the morning, to stay awake during the day. It was a monkey in my back, and it was something I kind of thought I had to have, and I knew it was wrong. So I went to a practitioner. This was pretty early on, and I said, "I think God wants me to give up coffee." Well, I don't know if God even knew I drank coffee, but I knew that I had made a God out of coffee. And, you know, there's only one God, and we only want one God, infinite good. So the practitioner said, "Is that such a big thing to ask?" Of course, that meant, is giving up coffee such a big thing to ask?
So when you were talking about the coffee, it was really that sense, as you said, of making another God, because I would ask you whether you still had as much energy, but from this, you know, interview, everyone will know that you do, that there's no lack of energy there. So that energy comes without needing a drop of coffee by the sounds of it. Is that right?
Yes. And you know, if we really do consider this life, and there are tremendous demands and challenges sometimes, but the rewards and the discoveries are so enormous, is it Is that such a big thing, is to give up these things that we really know aren't any good for us? Whether it's tobacco or alcohol or drugs or gambling.
Yeah.
You know, America, addiction and loneliness are the two things, I think, and they kind of feed off each other. But there are ways out.
The beauty of Christian Science is what I would call the separation between what you're giving up and just the fact of your thinking it comes from something that's material rather than understanding that it's a quality that is spiritual. And I think your coffee addiction is a perfect example that you didn't give up the energy you thought it was going to give you. You just gave up that belief that that energy came from drinking a cup of coffee. And you didn't lose the energy, you just lost the habit. And that's the same with gambling, with everything. It's not giving up the good. It's just finding it in a pure and spiritual way because it already belongs to us, doesn't it? It's a child of God.
That's exactly right.
We have the energy. We have the supply. Yep.
The kingdom is within. It was the same with smoking. I called a practitioner about something totally different to help me with, and I started wanting to smoke less. And I called her and told her that I had been healed. And then, to make a long story short, my brother came to visit me in college and graduate school, and I smoked a couple more times, and I was heartbroken. I had told her I was healed, so I called her and told her, and she said that I didn't need to smoke. Right there with me was all the peace, the tranquility, the calm, the serenity, the love that I needed. And that was the very end of it.
That's
so you're
lovely.
Right, Tony. You pick up the spiritual and you give up the material. Well, the cigarettes were healed as I realized that the poise and presence of God was all I needed. I didn't need tobacco. The Valium addiction was given up when I recognized that God's angels were comforting me, His presence, His Christ, that I didn't need a fake God, a pill. Suicide was overcome when I recognized that I had everything I needed right here, and that heaven is here depending on my thought, hell is here depending on my thought, that there's no place called heaven or hell. It's in my thinking, and as I renovated and renewed, regenerated my thought from my understanding of God, that was totally healed. So I guess the whole of it pretty much is that we have to put on the new man. We have to put on new ways of thinking and of looking at the world. And we can do this because God is our mind, and He is giving us the strength, the wisdom, the discernment to know what's right and what's wrong and what's hurtful. And we can make life a grand adventure. If you ask me to wrap up what we need to do daily to stay on the straight course is to pray every day, to work with a weekly Bible lesson, which consists of passages from the textbook Science and Health and from the Bible. To put on our armor of love and courage, of wisdom, intelligence, to know who we really are as God's image and likeness, to put that armor on. And then I think to give thanks for all the good we have and for the fact that God is with us all the time, that we have everything we need every single moment as we turn to divine mind, to our Maker. We may have to wait, but we'll get the angel we need. There are always more. And to go forward with wonderful expectation that good alone will come our way as we endeavor to live as God's child. And lastly, to give and give to others our heart's rich overflow.
Well, that's a wonderful way to end, Susan. And I'm just going to share a quote from Mary Baker Eddy that captures the spirit of what you've shared and mentioned throughout the program. Mary Baker Eddy's book, Miscellany, says, "We live in an age of love's divine adventure to be all in all." And that's what everyone deserves to experience, because that is God's plan for all of us, to be part of that adventure and to experience that divine love and to feel God's allness embracing us and supporting us. Thank you, Susan.
Yes, thank you.
It's been great having you on the program and sharing from the depth of your experience what you have learned. This has been an edition of Sentinel Watch, a weekly production of the Christian Science Sentinel. My name is Tony Lobel.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.